Heads up.
I'm Bill O'Reilly. Now it's time for no spin zones. On the gay marriage. If we were to allow two men to get married, then you'd have to allow a man to marry a turtle or four turtles. Not that I ever fantasize about that.
And do you, Bill, take Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello, and Raphael to be your lawfully wedded turtle husbands?
I do.
I now pronounce you man and turtles. You may kiss the turtles.
Cowabunga!
America went to war against Iraq based on a lie. We were told in 2002 Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The previous administration even pursued torture to try to extract false confessions to try to justify the war. It's time to tell the truth. The truth is the Democratic Senate could have stopped the Iraq war in 2002. The truth is we Democrats were given control of Congress in 2006 to end the war. The truth is this bill continues a disastrous war which has cost the lives of thousands of our soldiers. The truth is the occupation has fueled the insurgency. The truth is the Iraq war will cost the American and the Iraqi people trillions of dollars. And as many as 1 million innocent Iraqis have lost their lives as a result of this war. Don't tell the American people you're ending the war by continuing to fund the war. Don't tell the American people that the war will end when there are plans to leave 50,000 troops in Iraq. Don't tell the American people that the way out of Afghanistan is to escalate and more counterinsurgency. Get out of Iraq. Get out of Afghanistan. Come home, America. Come home. What
we
got to say.
Fight the power. We started with Heads Up from Gold FTV, Dennis Kucinich on the wars, and this is This Week in Radical History for the week starting May 18th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer, and radical info can be found at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
This week in radical history, for May 18th, in 1814, Russian anarchist militant philosopher Mikhail Bakunin is born. Like many other Russian anarchists of their time, like Peter Potemkin and Leo Tolstoy, he is born in an educated class but spent his life fighting for the peasantry. Unlike German economist Karl Marx, Bakunin argues that the peasants themselves can win freedom and transform society. Among his many writings, Bakunin would say, "The freedom for all is essential to my freedom." And about anarchy, "Does it follow that I reject all authority? Perish the thought. In the matter of boots, I defer to the authority of the bootmaker." Mikhail Bakunin. Also on May 18th, 1827, Joshua Warren opens his first-time store in Cincinnati, Ohio, the first commercial cooperative. An American reformist and anarchist, he advocated for anarchy based on the sovereignty of the individual. Warren founded several equity and time stores, with the idea of exchanging goods for equivalent amount of labor, and on the principle that cost should be the limit of price of the product. He also established three utopian colonies, the most successful one was Modern Times in Long Island, New York.
And in 1952, famed singer, actor, and political activist Paul Robeson held a unique public concert which was attended by tens of thousands of people in both the United States and Canada. He performed from the bed of a pickup truck parked on the international boundary line under the sculpture known as the Peace Arch in Washington State as a kind of protest over the U.S. State Department's revocation of Robeson's passport. Although at that time no passport was needed for Americans to travel to Canada, the State Department had also forbade Robeson's Canadian passage due to Robeson's refusal to abide by a dictum forbidding him from making public speeches while in other countries. Robeson was a communist and a civil rights activist who had supported the Abraham Lincoln Brigades, the international volunteers who fought against fascism in Spain while the U.S. maintained a policy of isolationist non-intervention. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, May 18th. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
Lastly, on May 18th, 1968, the wild days of May happened in Paris when police started to beat a small group of students protesting a school closure. Riots broke out, and within days, all universities and most secondary schools in France are taken over by students. Again, more overreaction by police caused 80% poll to support the students, and a collective spirit swept the country as hundreds of action committees started to form, which led to the Knights and the Barricades. At one point, 10 million workers seized factories, mines, shipyards, government offices, nuclear plants, and whole towns. An international spirit of, quote, "to hell with borders," unquote, started to take hold. At one point, the French President de Gaulle took his family away in three helicopters. and in early 1969, de Gaulle would step down from the office because of the struggle. This revolutionary struggle would be subverted when the unions made their own agreement with the government for their demands and left the students and their supporters hanging in the wind. This week in radical history, for May 19, 1855, U.S. land in Saigon to protect American interests. And on May 19th in 1910, U.S. land in Nicaragua. It was not the first time U.S. had an interest in Nicaragua. They are there in 1907 and will be back to stay for 10 years in 1912.
In 1920, the sheriff and mayor of a small mining town, Matewan, West Virginia, took a stand against a group of armed thugs hired by coal companies to terrorize the town and kill off the union organizers. Sheriff Sid Hatfield, a longtime champion of the coal miners and their families, had gained advanced knowledge of a raiding party of 20 or so agents of the Baldwin-Felts Detective Agency, a kind of private vigilante police force loyal to coal operators. He warned the miners and town folks, many of whom evacuated, leaving Sid and the town's mayor to greet the Feltz boys at the center of town, guns at the ready. In the gunfight that ensued, six Baldwin Feltz agents lay dead, along with two miners and the mayor, who was the first man to be shot. The Battle of Matewan was heralded by miners as a symbolic victory in the West Virginia Mine Wars.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Arturo Contreras. On this day, May 19th in 1921, the U.S. Congress passed the Emergency Quota Act, heavily limiting the number of European immigrants allowed to enter the United States each year. Although such immigration restrictions were not new, this act stood out as it was the first time that a national immigration quota had been established for Europeans. One U.S. politician stated in support for the act that, quote, "The United States is our land. If it was not the land of our fathers, at least it should be the land of our children. The day of unalloyed welcome to all people has definitely ended," blah, 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 end quote. And his mindset has always baffled me, but hey, at least the statement sort of acknowledges that the land was taken from someone. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
And on May 19th, 1925, Malcolm X is born. Here's a little more than a minute of his own words.
Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock was landed on us. We were brought here against our will. We were not brought here to be made citizens. We were not brought here to enjoy the constitutional gifts that they speak so beautifully about today. Because we weren't brought here to be made citizens today, now that we've become awakened to some degree and we begin to ask for those things which they say are supposedly for Americans, they look upon us with hostility and unfriendliness. We invested 310 years of slave labor, 310 years, every day of which your and my mother and father worked for nothing. Not 8 hours a day. There was no union in that day. They worked from sunup until sundown, from can't see in the morning until can't see at night. They never had a day off. And on Sunday, they were allowed to sit down and sing about when they died, they wouldn't be slaves no more. When they died, they wouldn't be slaves no more. They'd go up in the sky, and every day would be Sunday. That's a shame. And it is that 310 years of slave labor that went in, that was my and your contribution into this particular economy and political system.
Lastly, on May 19, 1997, in Colombia, two international human rights workers, Mario Calderon and Elisa Alvarado, plus Alvarado's parents, were shot dead by U.S.-backed paramilitaries. This week in radical history, for May 20th, 1506 in Spain, Christopher Columbus gets part of his just rewards as he dies in poverty at age 55, neglected and almost forgotten. Also May 20th, 1846, U.S. blockades Mexico harbors to protect American interests.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Arturo Contreras. On this day, May 20th in 1862, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act, which offered any eligible person access to free undeveloped land as long as it was outside of the original 13 colonies. In order to qualify for the free land, the applicant had to prove that they had never taken up arms against the U.S. government before and that they planned to improve the land. Once the person had been approved, they were handed over the deed, and according to U.S. law, it was legally their land. Through the Homestead Act, which continued on until 1976, over 270 million acres were privatized. Now that's 10% of all land in the United States. I guess when Mr. Lincoln signed the act into law, it never occurred to him that the indigenous people might have already lived there. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on May 20th, 1902, U.S. troops leave Cuba, there since 1898, and set up a pro-U.S. mafia government. Also on that date in 1904, U.S. warships ordered to Morocco to, say it with me, protect American interests. And in 1913, back to the land of free, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman rested in San Diego, not allowed to give her speech, and sent out of town on the next available train. In 1937, Spain, author George Orwell, sympathetic to the anarchists and fighting for the Republic against the fascists, is shot on the front lines. His homage to Catalonia is based on the experiences during the Spanish Revolution. Lastly, in a state in 1946, New York Governor Thomas Dewey ordered Lorenzo Reed, a black prisoner escapee, extradited to Florida. Reed had been convicted of stealing 20 cents and sentenced to 25 years in prison after a 10-minute trial. And justice for all. This week in radical history, for May 21, 1918, President Wilson signs a Sedition Act, making it a crime to hinder the war effort by making false statements, obstructing enlistment, or speaking against production of war materials, or the U.S. government, or the Constitution, or the flag. Let freedom ring. Also May 21, 1946, Truman orders the government to seize all the coal mines, hoping to break the coal miners' strike. He would say, quote, "We used the weapons that we had in hand in order to fight the rebellion against the government," unquote.
And in 1979, riots broke out in the Castro district of San Francisco in the aftermath of the sentencing of former San Francisco city supervisor Dan White, who had murdered the city's mayor and another supervisor, Harvey Milk. Milk was a well-known gay rights activist and was openly gay himself. His district, which included the Castro neighborhood, had a high concentration of gay and lesbian residents and businesses. Dan White was a Christian conservative opposed to equal rights for non-heterosexuals. He had resigned over the passage of a gay rights ordinance, but then changed his mind and sought reappointment from the mayor. The mayor refused, and so White killed him and then killed Harvey Milk. He was sentenced to only 7 years, having pled that he was under the influence of sugary junk food at the time. In the Castro, demonstrators taunted the police and smashed windows, and a group of police staged a gratuitous raid on a well-known gay bar. No one was killed, however, in what would later be called the White Night Riots.
Lastly, on May 21, 1981, Senate approves $20 billion program to return U.S. to full-scale production of chemical and nerve gas weapons, also known as weapons of mass destruction. Eat your heart out, Saddam.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, May 22nd in 1856, Southern Congressman Preston Brooks used his wooden cane to beat Senator Charles Sumner unconscious in the hall of the United States Senate. Senator Sumner, who was known for his radical abolitionist beliefs, had delivered a speech 3 days earlier in which he condemned slavery and insulted the authors of the Kansas-Nebraska Act, one of whom was Congressman Brooks's uncle. The Kansas-Nebraska Act allowed the settlers to decide whether each territory would be admitted as a slave or a free state. As the nation was on the brink of civil war, the issue became a tense national debate and the settlers engaged in bloody conflict. It took Senator Sumner 3 years to fully recover from the attack.
Also May 22, 1968, New York City police break through barricades at Columbia University. The raid on students occupying the Columbia University results in 998 arrests, over 200 injured. 100 SDS students flee two buildings after warrants are served. Their protest occupation demanded a black studies program, no military recruitment on campus, and end to the ROTC program. This week in radical history, for May 23, 1838, is the beginning of the Second Trail of Tears, forced march by U.S. Army, leading to the deaths of over 4,000 relocated Cherokee.
On this day, May 23rd, in 1898, President Emilio Aguinaldo returned from exile and resumed his leadership of the Filipino Revolutionary Forces, just as Spain was losing the Spanish-American War. Soon after, the Philippines declared their independence from Spain, who ignored their revolutionary government and sold the Philippines to America. America increased its military occupation of the Philippines in an attempt to squash all revolutionary resistance. In February of 1899, an American soldier killed a Filipino man, sparking the Philippine-American War. Militant resistance to American occupation continued until America allied with the Philippine elite and Americanized much of the island's economy and politics.
On this day, May 23rd in 1934, the strike by members of the American Federation of Labor against the auto-like automobile parts manufacturing company's Fisher Body Plant in Toledo, Ohio, which had begun in late April, took a harrowing turn as more than 6,000 Ohio National Guard troops were called out to break up peaceful demonstrations of the striking workers. What followed was an all-out battle. It started when a crowd of nearly 10,000 picketers, including members of the American Workers' Party, a pro-labor Marxist group led by A.J. Must, and the Lucas County League of Unemployed People, completely surrounded the plant. Sheriff's deputies forced their way through the line to escort more than 1,500 scab workers in, and somewhere along the way, several deputies began to beat an elderly striker. The crowd responded with sticks and rocks and a fire hose, which they commandeered from the deputies who had tried to use it against the crowd. A National Guard was called in, and after using copious amounts of tear gas to no effect, shots were fired directly into the crowd, killing two. The National Guard remained until early June, but as more unions contemplated a general strike in solidarity with the Adelaide workers, negotiations proved fruitful. Instead of the general strike, this incident, known as the Battle of Toledo, ended on June 5th with a victory parade of more than 20,000 workers and community allies.
See, you can successfully resist. Last in a state in 1997, the CIA releases secret documents on its 1954 overthrow of Guatemala President Alvarez, including lists of Guatemalans slated to be executed that were never heard from again. The creation of this list was with help from the CIA.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, May 24th in 1854, Anthony Burns, who had recently escaped slavery in Virginia, was arrested in Boston under the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850. Burns' arrest angered both black and white abolitionists who strongly opposed the Fugitive Slave Act. Despite the defense's claim that the Fugitive Slave Act was unconstitutional, Burns was ordered back into slavery. The day that federal officers escorted him to a ship bound for Virginia, over 50,000 people lined the streets, many of them in protest. This incident increased abolitionist sentiment in the North, and Anthony Burns became the last fugitive slave legally returned to slavery from any of the New England states. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also May 24, 1900, U.S. troops land in China, now come on, say it with me, to protect American interests. Also May 24, 1921, beginning the trial of Secco and Fassetti, anarchist labor organizers. Their execution is a culmination of 5 years' government campaign to crush political dissidents, particularly socialist and anarchist workers, in the land of the free. Also May 24, 1943, unlike most Axis powers in Bulgaria, marches against anti-Semitism leads to stop of Jewish deportations.
And on this day in 1990, a bomb destroyed the car being driven by environmental activist Judy Barry in Oakland, California, causing Barry permanent injury. She was a member of the environmental action group Earth First, and although that organization is best known for so-called direct action tactics such as blocking logging roads and disabling equipment, both Barry and Earth First shunned all forms of violence against people. Police investigators had tried to blame Barry for the bomb. A long court battle ensued, during which Barry and her attorneys were able to turn the tables on the Oakland police and the FBI, who they accused of having tried to frame Barry. Barry died of cancer before the trial concluded, but in 2001, a jury awarded her estate and co-plaintiff Daryl Cherney $4.4 million. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, May 24th. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced from the mobile fortress of Glee Glee Studios. Thanks to the Radio Roots crew from WBAI in New York and the Neighborhood Network of Columbus, Ohio, whose audio I have gently lifted for this show. We are always looking for great radical music to play the ending music for the show. If you know of any down stuff or have comments or suggestions of the show, please feel free to write me at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. That's all one long run-on word, themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. A reminder of what anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman once said, and apropos since the shine is being lost of Obama's shirt tails that so many lefties like to ride on. Quote, if voting ever really changed anything, they would have made it illegal. So until we meet next, a reminder that I'm always and forever yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
Like a monkey ready to be shot into space. Space monkey. Ready to sacrifice himself for the greater good. We'll be right back.
raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact.